We keep things rolling here on the Sports Cubicle. I'm your host, Mike Mercado, and I'm here with the one, the only, the man, the myth, the legend. I am here with the marvelous one, Dan Marver. It has been way too long, and I am so excited because today we get to hype up, we get to break down, we get to review, we get to talk about the road taken to the men's national championship game between the Purdue Boilermakers and the UConn Huskies. Marver, before we get to the actual game itself, I know you are somebody who not only covers what was going on in the big tournament, in the NCAA men's tournament and women's tournament, you've been keeping an eye on the NIT, you've been keeping an eye on in what happened for the U of I women's team, we'll get into a little bit later on today. But your thoughts about the road to the Final Four and now the destination, the number one seeds, the huge matchup between Purdue and UConn. Can Zach Edey finish the destiny of his manifestation coming true? What do you think, Barbara, about this road taken?
It's very rare that you have the two best teams playing in the finals because there's always an upset. Anything can happen in 40 minutes with college kids, you know. So this is quite unusual, and you're actually going to have Edey with with an opportunity to finish his career with a championship at Purdue. And you know they were in the final. They haven't been in the NCAA championship since 1969. And a funny thing, Grant Hill said, none of these kids were born then. Well, guess what? None of their parents were born then. That would have been a better line because it was 55 years ago. Anyway, unless, you know, unless they had kids in their 40s, but whatever, be that as it may. So, I mean, 1969, that was a great game too, by the way. Rick Mount, who most people from Indiana remember, 33-point average for Purdue. They lost to Lew Alcindor, who was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, in the finals in 69. And that was the last time they were in the finals. And a little thing about Rick Mount, you know, 33 points. There was no 3-point line, and he was beaten out for the player of the year by two people, Pete Maravich and Lew Alcindor. So there were quite a few big names back then. In any event, now this group here, I mean Connecticut was rolling through the tournament. They beat everybody by double digits, and they'll be quite difficult to handle. The key to Purdue has been the supporting cast. You know, pedestrian names like Smith and Jones have stepped up, as well as Lawyer. And I happened to run into the family in Indianapolis of the Lawyers, and their jerseys they wear a shirt that says "Lawyer Up," because he has a brother that was in the played at Michigan State and Davidson, and I happened to run into them last year. But in any event, they need supporting cast. They need the bench players to contribute because this is going to be a real match of the people besides the big guys, because Connecticut has a big guy of their own. But the difference there is that he doesn't seem to have stamina, and he can't play the 40 minutes that Edey plays. So that's going to be an interesting sidebar to the game. But finally, we get a game that's really worth the hype, because you've got, you know, obviously, arguably the two best teams all year long in Connecticut and Purdue, and it's come down to this game on Monday night. So I look forward to it. It should be great, and you know, it's a whole new era yet with Ian Eagle on the mic instead of Nance. And it was funny, for most of the game, I thought that perhaps Raftery was thinking he was still working with Vern Lundquist, because he kept calling Eagle, it sounded like Vern, but he's calling him Bird. As I thought he was like having dementia, and he thought he was with Vern Lundquist again.
No, it was I you know what, and shout out to them. About time we didn't get a chance to really talk about this, but to Bird, Ian Eagle, you know, big shoes to fill. But I think in a world where we've seen a lot of new faces in play-by-play and in big spots, I think he stepped up, and we've known he's a quality announcer to begin with. So continue, Marvelous.
Right. And then so the big matchup, Donovan Clingan is the big 7-footer for Connecticut. So that's going to be, you know, something you don't see very often in the finals. It goes back to the old days, you know, the thinking of Lew Alcindor with Elvin Hayes or somebody, you know, where the two big centers are featured. And again, it will be completely about the supporting cast, in my opinion, as to how well they shoot from the outside, because in general, Connecticut has a better shooting percentage as a team than Purdue. But during the tournament, Purdue has done much better with you know, with the you know, if they can hit some threes, that will bring either team that will bring the defense out and the double teams that they'll have to send down in the paint will allow some openings. And both the centers are terrific passers too. So it should be an outstanding game all the way around.
Does it surprise you that at the end of this entire tournament, where there is always those variables and those randomness that happens, that it not only is two number one seeds we've seen before, and you know, even the years where things get wacky, but it's not just the two number one seeds, it's the for sure two number one seeds. People had all their money riding on these two teams on the different sides of the bracket. How impactful do you think not only is it that chalk did win out, but it's two fan bases with players that are pretty exciting during a time where you could kind of siphon off and live off some of that shine that's coming from the women's side and try to capitalize on that? How important do you think it is that we did get a UConn-Purdue matchup in the men's side of the bracket specifically?
Yeah, you're right. You do make a good point, because some of the spotlight has been taken over by that great Iowa-South Carolina game that was played today.
Yeah, and you know what? Before we, Marvin, we'll get into what is going to happen in that game, because as of this recording, we are breaking down the men's side of the national championship. When you listen to this on the Sports Cubicle Sunday night, we will have crowned a women's champion, a new women's basketball champion between South Carolina and Iowa. And we may not be able to break down what happened in that game, but Marvin and I are going to take a second in just a little bit to talk about that awesome bracket that has been the women absolutely killing it on their side. But Marvin, you were saying with that the spotlight that has been Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, the entire South Carolina run, the entire tournament. Now you're in the men's side where you have these two number one seeds. How important is it for men's college basketball that this was the end game between these two teams?
I think it's going to be good for the ratings, you know, for one thing. And I think that, you know, it's interesting this year, you know, this championship is on TBS instead of CBS. So if anybody steals an antenna, they may be locked out. But I mean, I think that it's terrific. I mean, for example, for Connecticut, these other players such as Caravan and Spencer and Diarra are going to be so critical. And I mentioned the side players for Purdue. That's the whole key. Can they hit outside shots? Can they open things up? Because Connecticut, in every game they played, at one point they've had 7-0, 8-0 runs, and they go crazy. And most of it's from the outside when they do that. So that's going to be a key factor in the game. And you know, I look forward to it, and it's a perfect ending. I still would like them to change the format a little bit, because there's so many teams, and you look at, you know, you talk about the NIT, Indiana State and Seton Hall, the two black teams that weren't selected for the NCAA. That was another perfect scenario where the two best teams that did not make the NCAA played in the finals in the NIT. So that was a wonderful thing as well.
Shout out to Kareem Jewel Abdul-Jabbar over at Indiana State for Sycamores. Avila, he's a baller, and we got love for him. And like you said, there is room. I think the expansion talk we can maybe save for this coming up holiday season when we get closer to the next bracket, because you know that's going to be the next thing when we're living in this new expanded tournament for college football and for all these different sports. So that's definitely something we're going to mark on our calendars as we get closer to when that becomes an inevitability. But you mentioned UConn being a dominant team, and here on the Sports Cubicle, I'm your host, Mike Mercado. He's the Marvelous One, Dan Marver. We are breaking down and previewing the men's national championship game between the Purdue Boilermakers and the UConn Huskies. And before we get into the big stage moment, the big stage feel of what the women are going to do, and by the time you listen to this on the Sports Cubicle on the radio, we would have crowned the new champion. But before we get to that, I think here locally, there is a weird biasness in this game where it's 50-50. And I think this is where I want to get your prediction, because people who don't really watch a lot of college basketball, but around this time of year, they get really invested, whether it is just for the brackets, whether it's for gambling, just entertainment, because there's games on at 11 o'clock. If you go to the state of Illinois, you've seen games against Purdue. You saw the University of Illinois win the Big Ten tournament and make a run into the Sweet 16. So you have a certain idea of what Purdue might do. But then you see them get absolutely demolished by UConn in this same tournament. And now it's a matchup between Purdue and UConn. So I think people here locally in Chicago, the state of Illinois, the Midwest, have a weird kind of biasness, or maybe an uncertainty of how to predict this game. I think a lot of people with their hearts are going to pick Purdue. I think a lot of people who are cynical or clinical or very much just trying to be neutral are going to pick UConn. So with that in mind, who are you going with? And do you kind of understand the mindset of the fan base going into this national championship game locally?
Yeah. Well, I actually pick UConn all the way along. And I, you know, after last year's fairly Dickinson debacle for Purdue, I thought that they might stumble, you know, because they did have that first round loss to a 16 seed last year, and which was remarkable. It almost seemed impossible that could have happened, but it did. And they you know, give them credit. They didn't stumble this year, and I just think that Connecticut has a little bit too much. Besides the centers, Edie will, you know, will obviously do his thing, but I think Connecticut has too much firepower, and they've been, you know, they've been battle tested a little bit more, I think, than Purdue, honestly. And they're gonna, I think they're gonna win that game in Phoenix.
I agree. I think UConn wins 72-65. They go back to back. I had them beating Houston in the beginning of this tournament. So now that we're here, I think UConn, like you said, is just too much. Shout out for Purdue. They're having such a great run. And this is one of those moments where everybody can remember where they were at if you're a Purdue fan. There's something great about a tournament run and a redemption story. Whether or not they win the whole thing, the redemption has happened. They've made it to the national championship game. And I think that's really cool for Purdue. And speaking of Phoenix, you are in Phoenix right now, so you are there where it's the hottest as we were crowned a national champion. But Marver, as we get ready to crown a men's national champion, by the time you listen to this audio here on the Sports Cubicle with the Marvelous One, Dan Marver, I'm Mike Mercado, we will have a new women's champion in the game. It will either be South Carolina or Iowa. You know, I love this matchup. You know, I think there's something really cool about the Caitlin Clark story. When it, if you take away all the noise of, you know, the Angel Reese drama and the, because here's the thing, Marvin, and I only want to spend a second on this because we've already done a whole segment about this particular, but all the stories that are legitimate off the court, the things that get people talking, the things that are news related, socially related, are all true. But now that we're at a game now where it's just a basketball game, four quarters, somebody gets to win a national champion. Somebody gets to solidify their legacy. And at this point right now, I think you have Dawn Staley on the other side for South Carolina, who's going to make a great matchup against Caitlin Clark. And Caitlin Clark, this is her moment. She beat and her team and their redemption story of getting through LSU, getting to the national championship in this season where you've broken all these records and you have the establishment, but not the establishment in a way where it's like Darth Vader. People like South Carolina. South Carolina is a likable team with likable coaches, and they have that good vibe opposed to, like, let's say LSU, which there was a lot of weird tension going on there. Yeah. So here we are. I think regardless of how it plays out, basketball won. And I also am a realist. I understand it's star-driven, so next season may not be the exact same way. But for right now, this moment, it's the biggest talk in sports. Your thoughts of what the women did this past tournament?
I actually would like to mention Caitlin Clark, outstanding. Pete Maravich's all-time record, even though, you know, Pete only played 3 years and had no three-point line, but whatever. She's, you know, she's partnered with 11 companies at least, including Gatorade, Nike, and State Farm. She had an estimated NIL valuation of just under $1 million before she broke Maravich's record. It's now skyrocketed to $3.1 million after making more history. She's you know, she's actually Angel Reese was ahead of her before she got some more endorsements. And so that, and she's never, you know, the young woman has never had a job. and so, you know, this NIL thing, I've done some research into it, and that it's just pretty amazing that the athletes can now use their name, image, and likeness. And in her case, it's amounted to over $3 million. And, you know, God bless her. In terms of, if you look at it, I told my daughter, for example, who's a girls basketball coach, this is going to be great for you because you're going to get more girls interested in basketball. You know, you're going to probably have like 20 more girls trying out. So I think that this is going to be a boom all the way down the line, you know, for girls, young girls, women, in terms of basketball, because, you know, this has really put a spotlight on it. So no matter what happened in the game, I think that it's on ABC. You know, it's not on It's not on cable, which is funny because the men's game is on cable and the women's game isn't this week.
Bingo.
Yeah, so that tells you something right there.
And I think that that's just it, right? And we mentioned it last week. It has now become mainstream because basketball is so universal, not just for what country you play at, not just for whatever your financial economic situation may be. It's also very much inclusive for gender. Anybody can become a sharpshooter. Anybody can have awesome lockdown defense. Anybody can get themselves to be a master at dribbling with handles and being able to see the court and run fast and be athletic. And that is what you're seeing right now. And I think this is the best of all worlds, Marvel, where there's so much gray and so much bad when it comes to the nastiness of people taking advantage of these student athletes with NIL deals in some situations. And then some situations where you see these superstars who have elevated everybody kind of get rewarded before they make that next step into their professional life. And I think that's what's been great. So shout out to the women. Shout out to that awesome national championship game that we are going to get to an awesome Final Four, to an awesome tournament on the women's side. And shout out to the dudes. The dudes did it as well. It was great. This has been an awesome tournament, even though the basketball may not always be the most top tier. It is always fun to watch intense basketball. And speaking of basketball, Marver, last thing on the docket, we only got a few minutes on it, but you know what? They deserve it. The University of Illinois women's Fighting Illini team won the inaugural. Yes, that's right there. The first one to ever win the inaugural Women's Basketball Invitation Tournament with a 71 to 57 victory over Villanova at Hinkley Fieldhouse in Indianapolis. And the first time the program has won a championship like that. And the men's side still waiting for the big one, their big moment to win a men's national championship. But pretty cool story, Marver.
Yeah, it is. It's great that the ones that don't make the big tournament get a chance to keep playing. And there's another side to that too. I mean, a lot of teams don't decide to keep playing, when they're snubbed. And it's great when a team does get that opportunity to go into a side tournament and go all the way. And props to Illinois women for that. Hats off to them. And it's a real Wild West. Going out there in college with with the portal and the NIL and everything else, and the extra COVID year. I don't know how many more years they're going to say the kids played during the COVID year. Is it going to be the year 2050 and they'll give them the 5th year still? I just, it's crazy. It's crazy out there.
We'll find out, Marver. And I know this is something that you and myself and the boys here on the Sports Cubicle have talked about, the good and bad of NIL, and we want to make an honest kind of segment about it. And I think that's something we're working on behind the scenes. So that's something, if you're a college sports fan, if you're excited about, keep your eyes and ears tuned into the Sports Cubicle, because we do have some stuff coming up the pipeline to kind of break down, now that this is part of regular sports, what NIL means, now that we have big time tournaments and big time players for not just the men, but for the women's side. We have this expansion going on in the football side, all these different collegiate things going on with these super conferences. We're going to be here to make sure we break it all down. Marver,
Yeah.
final thoughts, my friend?
I'll tell you what, I in my A man on the street job, I ask people, don't even know what NIL means or stands for. I'm the average person. And there are people come up to me and say, "Oh, how about that Caitlin Clark?" And it's like they've discovered her, but she beat the freshman scoring record 3 years ago. So she's not actually a new news item, but just spotlight's been put on her. And is it talent, or is it because she was back behind the barn shooting 53 pointers a day, in a row? I mean, it's a question for me as to how you develop that Stephen Curry-like skill to shoot 3-pointers from the logo. It's just, it's uncanny. It was funny because the announcers in the semifinals, she's unbelievable. She's possessed. It was like they couldn't come up with enough adjectives as she kept hitting the 3-pointers, which actually broke a record in that particular game. So, it's just craziness out there.
So, Marver, I'll leave you with this and the rest of our amazing friends here at the Sports Cubicle. What Victor Wembanyama is doing for the NBA and Caitlin Clark is doing for women's basketball is
Yeah.
just the beginning. The Super Freak 7'3" point guard is coming, and the Super Freak athletic, could shoot from anywhere in the gym, athlete is coming for both sports, because you have 7, 8, 9-year-olds now who are replicating, and which one is easier to replicate, which one is easier to think you can do. That's why Steph Curry is considered, more than LeBron, more than Michael, more than a lot of these guys, institutionally changed the way the game is played. And that is why it's so fascinating. That's why we love it here on the Sports Cubicle, to really break down the nitty gritty of one of our favorite sports. But Marver, that is it. The only thing left to do is to wait for that one shining moment for tip off to happen. And we get to crown two new champions in one scenario, a potential repeat champion defending their crown. Will it be UConn? Will it be Purdue? Will it be Iowa? Will it be South Carolina? You let us know your thoughts down in the comment section below, or wherever you get your favorite podcast, or on Twitter at SportsCubicGoTV. Enjoy all the games. He's the marvelous one, Dan Marver. I'm Mike Mercado. We got more coming up next here on the Sports Cubicle.